the third movement of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. It's to me about loss, anguish, a frenzied madness, which is the madness we see in war.
Join me, Clive Miley, for Music Matters, Music on the Frontline. Available now on BBC Sounds.
Next on Radio 3, it's Music Planet with Catherine Tickell.
Welcome to Music Planet, starting off with the powerful lyrics and infectious grooves of Shaun Kuti and Egypt 80. From the forthcoming album, Heavier Yet Lays the Crownless Head, this is Move. Nigerian musician, singer-songwriter and activist Shaun Kuti with Egypt 80. And you can find that track, Move, on their new album, which comes out next week. Thank you for joining us here on Music Planet. I'm Catherine Tickell. And later in the programme, I'll be joined by Lucy Duran, remembering the great Tumani Diabate. And we're taking the opportunity to listen again to a wonderful session Tumani recorded for Radio 3 back in 2011. That's coming up in about 10 minutes after this pair of tracks with a South Indian connection. I'll play you a new release from Sagara featuring four musicians from the Carnatic tradition. But first, from his album Shakar, released earlier this year, Here's a track from guitarist and singer Raghu Dixit, who was touring the UK in July, and this is a really joyful song featuring Michael League of Snarky Puppy and Bocante on Gimbri. This is Gia Gia. Where Is That Blossom? That's from Sagara's new album, Three, the third instalment of the collaboration between Polish producer and multi-instrumentalist Wacław Zimpel and four virtuosic musicians from the Carnatic musical tradition of southern India, violinist Mysore N. Karthik and three percussionists, Giridhar Adupa, Agu Baba and K. Raja, playing clay pot drum, frame drum and the barrel-shaped tavil. Now it's time to play you the first of four recordings by the incredible Malian kora player Tumani Diabate, who died in July this year. And he really was just a master of the instrument, bringing together his ancestral traditions with a really bold, innovative approach, which made him so in demand as a musical collaborator. He worked with so many people, including Bjork, Taj Mahal, Afro-Cubism, with members of Buena Vista Social Club, Damon Albarn, Herbie Hancock, Bella Fleck, and most famously, Ali Farkatoure. In a moment, I'll be talking to musicologist and longtime producer and champion of Tumani Diabate, Professor Lucy Duran. But first, here's Tumani live in session for Radio 3 back in 2011. This is Kaira. Thank you. absolutely beautiful solo chora playing of Tumani Diabate, recorded almost 13 years ago. And Lucy Durand, you were there. In fact, there's an argument that without you, thousands of people around the world would possibly never have got to hear Tumani's incredible musicianship. Just tell us a little bit about how you first got to meet him and hear him.
Well, when I first met Tumani, that was back in 1986, so a long time ago, end of 1986, but I had already spent nearly a decade working with kora players and spending time in the Gambia and Senegal studying the kora. And my teacher, whose name was Amadou Bansang Diabate, introduced me to his family in Mali, his nephew, who is Tumani's father. And so off we went to Mali together, and eventually I got to meet Tumani, and I realized that he was a real genius with just a sublime sound, as we heard in that beautiful track, Kaira, that he recorded especially for Radio 3. Every time he played that track, it was different.
I was going to ask about that because it's the title track of his first album, which you produced.
I did indeed.
And we'll come back to that in a minute. But I've also heard it. It's on a few different albums and it's very different on each one. So I wondered, as a chora player yourself, can you give us some insight into how much of Tumani's playing is improvised, and what is the bit, what is the core of the piece, that the identifier of it?
Catherine, I can tell that you're a musician. That's a very, very good question. I mean, it really, it's actually quite simple, because it's all that music is riff based. It's based on a kind of a model melody. Kaira has a riff. The riff is called Kumbeng, or fully sang, which means the stride of the leg. And then you say you're the stride of the leg. When you walk evenly, and that's the repeated riff. But then you know, sometimes you go off to one side and you pick some flowers and you throw the flowers in, and you know, it's that, those are the variations. And so the riff sort of stays the same, but the variations, that's what changes. And as he became more and more used to playing for, you know, foreign audiences, he added more and more variations and became more improvisatory. He listened to a lot of Indian music, curiously, and in fact toured with some Indian musicians. So he took a lot of ideas from Indian music, from Indian classical music, and he listened to popular music. And, you know, he grew up listening to lots of different kinds of things. And at home, his father was an incredible virtuoso on the kora, and his mother was a wonderful singer. And he brings the melody and the virtuosity of the kora into his music.
And when you produced that first album, were you and he aligned in your ideas of what that first album should be?
Not at all. Because, in fact, what Tumani wanted to do was to overdub. He wanted to play the riff. He wanted to play the stride of the leg of Kaira, let us say, and then do lots of improvisations over that. So I made a very practical comment. I said, Tumani, how are you going to reproduce that on stage? And he sort of looked at me and thought, that's a good point. I don't think I would be able to. And I said, no, you would not. And then I also said, you already make it sound like it's Bach. I mean, you have incredible counterpoint. You don't need to overdub.
That's one of the things about that album. And as we just heard, that solo piece, it's incredible to think that is one musician with one instrument. Just the complexity of it is fantastic.
The kora is actually, it's an indigenous instrument to Africa. There's no other instrument like it anywhere else in the world. I mean, it's a harp, technically, but it's a harp with strings in two almost parallel rows. They converge a bit at the top. And so you're plucking alternately, right, left, right, left, right, left. And it makes for very fast runs, makes for quite complex textures. And that's one of the things that's so special about the kora. And on top of it, Tumani had, you know, just his own incredibly lyrical way of playing.
He certainly did. Now, this next piece is Tumani with three other musicians, and it's from that same session back in 2011. What should we be listening out for in this one?
Well, Tumani was always based in Mali, in his hometown, in Bamako, and he very quickly realised that foreigners loved his music, and he also wanted to introduce it to his home audience, because, you know, he was a griot. He was one of these hereditary musicians. And there's an expectation that if you listen to a griot, you should give them money. And so he wanted to create a situation where people would feel comfortable about coming to listen to him from his own society without feeling obliged to give him something. So he created this band called the Symmetric Orchestra, which had musicians from all over what was once the great Mali Empire, all the way from Mauritania down to Guinea and further afield to Timbuktu. So it was meant to be like the four corners of the Mali Empire, and music in a context where anyone could come and listen and feel comfortable and dance to the music.
And the three musicians here, were they in that orchestra?
Yes, and Fanta Madi, who plays guitar, in a very kind of kora-like way. But of course, the guitar is a borrowed instrument, unlike the kora. So Fanta Madi was one of the leaders of his Symmetric band, and you can hear him very, very clearly.
We've also got Mohamed Koita on bass and Fode Kouyaté as well on drums.
Thank you.
Sumbu Yaya, performed by Tumani Diabate on kora, with Fode Kuyate on drums, Fantamade Kuyate guitar and Mohamed Koita on bass, recorded by the BBC almost 13 years ago. We'll have more from that session later in the programme. New music now from the Rangan Sisters, just released yesterday, and they're touring England from the 7th to the 23rd of November. The album's called Start Close In, and there are plenty of songs on there, but I've chosen an instrumental for you. Livet behöver inga droger. Life needs no drugs. This is dedicated to and inspired by a wonderful summer festival over in Sweden, where dancing and fiddle playing are the only drugs needed.
Soy un humano, la sociedad me corrompe, la sociedad me corrompe.
Soy sujeto corrompido, yo ya estoy bien confundido. deslizarme y dejarme hacer un poco más.
From Bogota, the ever-experimental Meridian Brothers there with Nazca Buena y La Sociedad Me Corrompe, which translates as something like I am born good and society corrupts me. That's from their latest album, My Latino America Sufre, which explores the potential of the electric guitar in a tropical Latin context. Let's hear something now from Indonesian vocalist Penny Chandra Rini. She was born into a family of traditional artists and musicians from East Java, and she often sings with traditional Indonesian percussion, or gamelan. This is a track from her brand new album, Wani. And Penny's being impressively prolific this year. I played a track just a few weeks ago from her previous album, which had only just been released. But the two albums are very different. Wulanish was quite reflective and spiritual. This new one is more up-tempo, I'd say, with a whole host of guest musicians and producers. And this piece takes its inspiration from the traditional shadow play, particularly the bit where the shadow master, in his role as disembodied narrator, where he will insert a free rhythm. It's kind of a freestyle vocal interlude to increase the dramatic tension. If you've ever seen Penny Chandra Rini perform live, you'll know that she is very at home with dramatic tension and also the ability to transport you into another world. Indonesian singer Penny Chandrarini, who describes herself as a singer and orator of the poetry of life, expanding the boundaries of her tradition there with some really innovative new percussion ideas in that arrangement, using an assortment of Indonesian drums, percussion and gongs. You're listening to Music Planet here on BBC Radio 3. And let's get back to our revisiting of that Tumani Diabate session from 2011. This track is called Ruby.
Thank you.
Chora player Tumani Diabate and members of Symmetric Orchestra in session for the BBC back in 2011. And I'm very pleased to have Professor Lucy Duran here in the studio with me to give me some insights into the man and his music. Lucy, you kind of made that session happen. Can you remember what the atmosphere was like in the studio?
Well, I was a great fan of Symmetric Orchestra. I used to go and see them a lot when they played in Mali. It was quite unusual for them to come over here to the UK because, you know, it was a lot of musicians. And I think that's why there were only four that came at the time. But they used to play in a place called the Hogon in the centre of Bamako. And it was a wonderful venue, outdoor venue with kind of round huts with thatched roofs and people dancing, and just a wonderful way of sharing this fantastic musical genius of Tumani Diabate and bringing his music, you know, giving it a wider, because when he played on his own, it was more like a classical instrument, really. And it had been a classical instrument. It had been an instrument of the court of Mali. But with the Symmetric Orchestra and the drum kit and so on, it was like this music can go anywhere, really. And I think that was one of the many aspects of Tumani's brilliance, you know, and creativity. He was, as you said in the beginning, you know, he was very rooted in his own tradition, but also extremely creative and experimental. It was a great shock, I have to say, when I learnt that he had passed away on the 19th of July this year, 2024. He was only 58. He was about to turn 59 in something like 10 days. The funeral was the next day on the 20th of July, and it was a huge nationwide event. And singers came and sang his praises. And, you know, he will be sorely, sorely missed in Mali and around the world.
He absolutely will be. Now, I was going to ask you more about Tumani Diabate's legacy, but actually we have a clip from that 2011 session with you speaking to Tumani. So let's have a listen to that.
Tumani, I mean, I've often said of you that you've put the Chora on a world platform and you've made it Africa's best known instrument. One of the things that you've always wanted to do is to show that the kora can be an instrument that can play any style of music.
Absolutely. Open a new door for the kora. That was my dream since I was young. 5 years old, I started to play kora. And kora now is doing a lot of things, and a lot of things been doing now with the kora. My cousin Balake Sisoko, I did the great deal with him, and now he's doing very nice things with the kora.
The incredible collaborations
with the cello and Basisoko Ben, who using the wawa with the kora, and Kausu Kuyat from Gambia, which is a genius of the kora. Also, you know, you can listen to the percussion, like the bukarabu, the sabar, things on what they're playing. So, and Mamadou Djabate from New York, from Mali, and also my young brother Mamadou. So you see, it's like a revolution with the kora, and I'm happy that we are now getting this level, and was very, very happy the day in Glastonbury. I was on stage with Björk, you know, 100,000 people was there, and the kora in the middle of electronic music. So I say, oh, thank God.
You've realized your dream.
Really, yeah.
When you were five years old, you couldn't have imagined you'd be on that stage in Glastonbury, could you?
Never, never, never think about it, you know.
Wonderful to hear the voice there of the late Toumani Diabaté speaking to Lucy Durant back in 2011. And Lucy, you're here with us today. Thanks so much for coming in and giving us the background and the insights into that session, into Toumani's work and his music.
My great pleasure.
We've got one more track from him. It's called Cantalos. Can you give us a bit of background to this one?
Cantalos, you know, when Toumani first came to London, he spent 7 months in my house, and I live on Cantalos Road. So he dedicated that song to me because I was his first producer.
I always like to, like we say in French, rendre un hommage.
To pay homage.
To say thank you very much to Lucy Durant, that you, for what you're doing and you keep doing for African music, in the culture in the UK. I say Cantalos Road is a fridge. It's a fridge when people come, you have to go to have some drink over there. Otherwise, you're lost. And yeah, you put energy together with those producers, those journalists, writers, BBC. And so it's a family. So I'm happy that, comme on dit en français, le combat que vous avez mené, vous avez gagné le combat que vous avez mené.
Oh, the fight that you entered into, you won.
Yeah.
Music by the late Tumani Jabate, ending this week's Music Planet, presented by Catherine Tickell.
Live music lives on BBC Radio 3. Join Yujia Wang, Antonio Papano and the London Symphony Orchestra. Mahler's First Symphony and Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 2. An evening of heartfelt romanticism and life-affirming grandeur. With me, Martin Andrew. Radio 3 in concert. Yujia Wang and the London Symphony Orchestra. Tuesday night from 7:30. Listen on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 3, it's the new music show with Kate Mollison.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. Here is some vintage experimentalism from Brazil. This is a track called Dança from Chico Mello.
Thank you.